Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Meow. We don't need no cats. I love that intro. Can't get enough of it. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. What is up, beautiful people? On this Friday, I call it Fri-yay, November 17th. 2017, you are locked into WKAR's Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM. I am your host, Al Martin, and I can't believe it's Friday. I feel like I say that each and every Friday. The week has absolutely flown by, and we have a ton to get to on today's Current Sports. A lot to preview, a lot of discussion on today's Current Sports. We will talk about the head coach of the Michigan State football team, Mark D'Antonio, being named as a candidate for multiple Coach of the Year awards. So I'll dive into that in just a moment. And we'll also preview this weekend's matchup as the Spartans will host Maryland, a lowly Maryland team, to Spartan Stadium, the final regular season home game of the year for the Spartans. That's hard to believe as well. And after this week, of course, Michigan State will have one more regular season game against Rutgers on the road, and they will be bowling this year, seeing as though they already accomplished the 6-win threshold weeks ago. So we'll preview the Maryland and Michigan State football game. We'll have a brief discussion on the weekend that is to be when it comes to other Michigan State sports, especially the Michigan State men's soccer program, as they will play in the NCAA tournament, hosting a tourney game come Sunday. Sunday will be an absolutely busy day here in the area, because not only do you have Damon Rensing's soccer team in action, but you also have both the men's and the women's basketball teams in action. Back-to-back games. I had to do a double take when we looked at the schedule for that yesterday after the show, and I'm sitting there planning the weekend, and I'm like, whoa, hold on. They play on the exact same day. Both teams playing at the Breslin Center. So you have the women playing at noon, and then later on at 4 p.m., the men will take the court. So we'll talk about both of those matchups for Susie Merchant and Tom Izzo. And we'll also be giving away a pair of tickets to this weekend's Michigan State men's basketball game. Find out how you can win in just a moment. And we'll be covering the pros as well. One team in particular we will be chatting about is the Detroit Lions. That's right, your Lions will hit the road to play. Talk about lowly. The lowly Chicago Bears at Soldier Field, a game in which the Honolulu Blue are favored to win. So we'll dissect that game and preview that as well. And on the back end of the show, we'll close things out with a segment we call Reflection Friday, where we evaluate the week that has been here in the local sports world and beyond, and maybe even bring up a few stories that we did not get a chance to highlight. And also, it's going to be a big weekend for local high school football action, as well as how about one of our local teams moving on in high school girls volleyball state championship action last night. So we'll recap that as well. But, you know, as I normally do after my introduction spiel, I throw to our quick hit headliners, but I'm going to mix it up a bit today. And I want to just dive right into some conversation, starting with head coach Mark D'Antonio and the Michigan State football team.
Sitting here in this white padded room, imagining I'm a meteor flying out through the distant space. How does tiny speck crawl Earth destroy tomorrow? So capable of so many things, why make life taking place?
But I believe that when you lose your root, choose the sunlight, it could be your guide.
No more political dreams,
not another excuse.
Don't need another love song, we need a love bomb
to just blow us away.
You know, I've stood up here in the highs and the lows. I've stood up here and after winning a Rose Bowl or a Big Ten championship. Also stood up here at very difficult times before. That's never going to change. That's something that's just going to have to, that's the hat I wear. So as I do this today, you know, obviously we've had very good times here. And we've had some low points, and obviously these are difficult times. But I also think that this is an opportunity to recenter ourselves as a program, as people, and take direction from whether it's myself or anybody else in that capacity and move forward. I've always said that, I always will.
To just blow us away.
Yes, that is how we start this Friday afternoon. A little nerd for you. Mark D'Antonio, you just heard a snippet from Mark D'Antonio's press conference earlier this year, back in March, actually. And that was from the press conference when Mark D'Antonio, his program riddled with a lot of controversy, seeing as though four now former players were charged with sexual assault. And Mark D'Antonio took to the podium and said, hey, we are going through a challenging time right now. But the reason I was hired was not just to lead this program during the good times, but also the bad. This is a team, folks, that was, has been well documented. A team that was dead in the water last year, 3-9. Worst season in program history since 1982. This is a team that had an offseason in which, again, four of its now former players were charged with sexual assault. A topic that, I mean, my goodness, just looking at the current news media world, that's a topic that in recent weeks has riddled our news media due to what's taking place in Hollywood with the hashtag MeToo campaign that has given many people courage, many women courage to speak up on their own experiences concerning sexual assault. This is a team that has played around 13 true freshmen and a number of first-year players. This is a team that dealt with under-breath chatter surrounding Coach D'Antonio and his job security. And, you know, when I say that, I'm sure there are many of our listeners right now saying, yeah, that was me. Don't go hiding now. Because I would run into some of you guys in public
A few of you at the gym I attend. Even had a person at Meijer approach me, a listener at Meijer, this past, during the summertime, that wanted to ask about what was taking place within the program. Even somebody at a local restaurant I attended in the summer. And I would hear some of you talk about how Coach D and how Coach D could let the program get to a point this low. And many of you believe that he was on thin ice. You questioned if he was the right man to get the job done. Now, here we sit on November 17th with two games left in the season. And I wonder how many of you are willing to now look in the mirror and admit that you were dead wrong. That you were caught up in the moment and felt like something needed to change, but didn't really know what. Now, that's an easy position to point at. The head coach, an easy position to point at when things are getting rough for a team, both on and off the field. Well, I tell you what, I'm so glad that Mark Hollis and President Luana K. Simon did not listen to many of you confused individuals, because the MSU football program realized it needed a change as well. No, not a change in its head coach, but in how it educates its young men pertaining to moral character off the field. A change not in its head coach, but a keen look at player leadership and an evaluation as to why it was absent last season. No, not a change in the head coach, but a coming to terms with the realization of the moment. That this happens in the world of sports. Let's not act like Michigan State is the only program that has dealt with such off-the-field hurdles and a struggle in the win and loss column. Many of us were spoiled when looking at how Coach D'Antonio has led this program to new heights. Going to the Rose Bowl for the first time since 1988. Going to the college football playoff. But that's how we are in the sports world today, right? It's a what have you done for me lately society. And especially when you're not winning and you have serious off-the-field problems with not just one, not two, but four of your players, the doubt starts to creep in. However, as Coach D so eloquently put when he addressed the media after the sexual assault charges centered on his now former players, he's not here to coach during the good times, or just to coach during the good times. He's here to steer the ship during the bad as well. The true test of a coach is how well they deal with things when all seems lost. And in your darkest hour, you know, this is something that I've always admired about Coach D. He's so loyal. Some, including myself, would say that Coach D at times is loyal to a fault when it comes to his coaching staff. But it makes sense for a man of great faith like Coach D, to be honest with you. And I remember when Michigan State, when they fell about a year ago now, you know, to Penn State, that was a 45-12 loss. And he was asked about the situation of his current coaching staff. Now, again, Michigan State went 36-5 in the previous 3 years. Prior to last season, twice winning the Big Ten championship, the program went to the college football playoff. And looking at last year, they began the season 2-0 and were actually ranked number 8 in the country. That's before losing 9 of the final 10 games. And Coach D, after the Penn State loss, he sat there up at the podium and he was asked about his coaching staff. And what did he say? quote, "We'll look at what we do as a staff, but I'm not even considering letting any of our staff go, if that's the question." As soon as Coach D stated that and it was printed and it was put on Twitter and other social media platforms, he got a lot of flack for it. How could you not make a coaching staff change after you go 3-9 on the year? That's not how Coach D rolls. And it's something I've always admired about him, but it's certainly a catch-22. But he's proven us wrong time and time again, because Coach D is a winner. And now, Coach D'Antonio, you stare at the possibility of finishing the year off with a double-digit win season. And I don't know if there's any other coach in the nation that could make a stronger case for Coach of the Year than you. Really quite remarkable. That now for the fourth time in his career, Michigan State head coach Mark D'Antonio has been named as a semifinalist for the George Munger College Coach of the Year Award. That announcement was made by the Maxwell Football Club yesterday afternoon. He is one of 16 semifinalists for the award. Has led this team to a 7-3 overall record, including a 5-2 mark in the Big Ten, coming off a year in which this team only won 3 games. And heck, earlier this season, Coach D was named one of 20 coaches, won both the Paul Bear Bryant Coach of the Year Award and the Bobby Dodd Coach of the Year Award watch list. Now, you don't do what Coach D'Antonio does. You don't coach to add Coach of the Year awards to your name. You coach to win games and win championships. But my goodness, it's hard to sit back and not acknowledge a man who completely turned around the dialogue, completely changed the perception of what was once a dark cloud just months ago hovering over his program. It's hard not to acknowledge that. So I want to start today's Current Sports by just, you know, when I saw the news that Mark D'Antonio was a semifinalist for the George Munger College Coach of the Year Award, you know, I just kind of just sat back and just thought about, you know, everything that's taken place these past few months. Mark D'Antonio deserves his props, and I wanted to start the show by doing that. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can join us via social media at facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. I'll read it live here on our airwaves. And you can join us via Twitter at Al Martin. WKAR is my Twitter handle, or tweet the show at the Current Sports official Twitter handle of at WKAR_sports. So now Michigan State prepares to welcome Maryland to Spartan Stadium in what will be the final regular season home matchup for the 2017 Michigan State football team. And we all know the storyline heading into this one. Michigan State coming off one of the worst blowouts in Mark D'Antonio's tenure, a 48-3 blowout in Columbus, Ohio at the Shoe by Ohio State. Diving into this game, it was the fourth straight game that Michigan State failed to gain 100 yards on the ground as a team. Now, that's not surprising, because Michigan State has struggled to run the football all season long. It's been an uphill battle for the what was dubbed three-headed monster coming into this year, Madre London, L.J. Scott, and Gerald Holmes. I think L.J. has played the best out of the three. Gerald Holmes has had his moments, but they've done nothing to really turn any heads. Brian Lewerke, he really struggled on Saturday, and that was quite surprising, because Brian Lewerke was coming off back-to-back games in which he passed for over 400 yards. He passed for a total of 845 yards in the previous two games. Lewerke, the sophomore. He was sacked three times, passed for just 131 yards, and actually 50 of those yards came on Michigan State's final drive. Not great. Not great. So under former Michigan defensive coordinator DJ Durkin, Maryland, I mean, if you're the Spartans and looking at Maryland right now, I mean, this is the perfect opportunity. As I stated on yesterday's Current Sports, this is the perfect opportunity to finish the year on an upward swing, a great upward swing, because Maryland and Rutgers aren't great. DJ Durkin and his defense of Maryland ranks actually last in the Big Ten in total defense, allowing 420 yards per game. The Terrapins ranked 12th against the run. So, hey, LJ, hey, Gerald. Time to get it going this week, baby. There is no excuse for you to not have 100 yards on the ground as a team when playing the Maryland Terrapins. They ranked 12th against the run. They give up 173.3 yards on average on the ground. They rank 13th against the pass. They give up 247.5 average yards through the air on any given Saturday. Perfect opportunity to get out of the doghouse, right? And the defense from Michigan State, just not great. Just a bad game. Again, as Mark D'Antonio stated, that is just a game where you just want to burn the tape. You don't even want to look at that game anymore. The Spartans allowed 335 yards on the ground to Ohio State, the most allowed by D'Antonio in his 11 seasons as head coach here in East Lansing. That's despite entering with the third-ranked rush defense in the nation at 87 yards per game. The Spartans, with that poor performance, dropped to 10th in the country against the run. But again, you're playing Maryland. I'm not even sure, and probably you can probably look this up right now, Isaac. I'm not even sure what the line is right now, but I would imagine it's double digits. Wouldn't you imagine that?
I'd be shocked otherwise. Yeah, MSU, I mean, going into this game, you talked about Ohio State last week. Do they have something to prove? Mm-hmm. MSU not playing for anything, but they have something to prove this week still.
And I think what they have to prove is that, you know, they can handle business against lowly competition. I mean, when you have a program like Michigan State, I mean, this could be, you know, talk about the big dogs in the Big Ten. This could be Ohio State. This could be Michigan. This could be Penn State. You know, if you're playing a Maryland or a Rutgers, you are expected to trounce on them. And I think Michigan State needs to do that if they want to play in a sexy bowl game like the Outback Bowl against mm-hmm. LSU. You got to dominate lowly competition, and that's exactly what the Terrapins are. In Maryland, I mean, you look at Maryland, my goodness, Maryland has actually started four quarterbacks this season. They've had a lot of injuries behind center. The Terps are throwing for just 164 yards per game. That's 12th in the Big Ten and 114th nationally. Michigan State should blow this team out. And Michigan State should finish the year, the regular season, with 9 wins, because I expect them to do the same thing against Rutgers come next week. And when you evaluate a game like this, you know, you start looking at the little things. You really start to dissect the little things. And that's something I said, you know, in our 2-minute drill earlier this week on Wednesday's 2-minute drill, when I was addressing actually the Michigan State men's basketball team. You know, they lose to Duke, and now, come this weekend, Tom Izzo's Spartans will play Stony Brook, right? In the PK-80. And again, the MSU women's basketball team also playing in the PK-80. And also, by the way, I saw the jerseys that the women will be rocking. Wow, they are fly, I must say. And I see they're rocking the KD sneaks as well. They're going to be looking pretty fly come Sunday. But Michigan State will play Stony Brook, a team that's 0-2 on the year. When you play competition like that and you're the number 2 ranked team in all of the nation, or when you're just highly favored, you have to look at the little things, because it's the little things that you measure in a game like that in order to try and compare to bigger opposition that you've probably already played this year. So going to be looking at the little details for Michigan State come this Saturday. But I'm curious to know what the crowd is like as well. You know, I've been absolutely just killing the Michigan State student section all year. I feel like I've been doing it now for the past 3 years because, again, when the third quarter comes, it's like, all right, it's time to turn up, no matter what the game is looking like, no matter if it's a close game or a blowout. If it was a blowout, I would understand it. Okay, you at least got a reason there, you know, or even if it was just crappy weather, okay? But even if it was crappy weather and it's a close game against some really good competition, stick around. Support your school, right? I've been bashing the student section for a long time now, so I'm curious. You play a team like Maryland, you're coming off a really bad loss against Ohio State. I don't think this place is going to be packed tomorrow afternoon, Isaac. If I had to guess, I would say I think it would be a success if Michigan State gets in there 40,000, something like that.
40,000 total?
Yeah.
Really?
I think right now.
Stadium seats like 75,000.
Exactly. I know.
Wait, 40,000 total.
I think that it would be a success. If they got 40 to 50, okay, that's a success tomorrow. I just feel like, especially the weather's going to be crappy tomorrow,
too. It will be horrible.
It is going to be bad. When comparing how students and just fans, I will say for the majority of the time, the fans have come out, but the student section has been really, really bad. I think coming off a loss to Ohio State, you got blown out, and you're playing Maryland. The weather's crappy. I think that's – if you get 45,000 inside of Spartan Stadium tomorrow, I think you got to look at that. You have to look at it as with a different eye, Isaac. I really do believe that.
See, if I'm MSU, I'm on 45,000 at least at the end of the game. Now, this is a chance when – if you're a student or if you're a part of the student section, you've got a chance to go out there and show you're resilient. But sadly, we all know through prior history that MSU student section is not resilient. They leave during good games in the middle of it because they want to go out and go to the bars before it gets too late or whatever. Mm. And sadly, it just does create an environment and a portrait on the TV that does not portray MSU as a sports school. You ask any alumni, what's one great thing about MSU? They'll talk about the sports, but the current students, for whatever reason, they've taken it for granted. They really have, and it's just not the same environment that it used to be, but this is a chance to come out.
Basketball
is great.
They come out. Now, again, it's, you know, you're not talking about 75,000 people inside of the Breslin. I mean, what's the capacity at the Breslin?
18, something like that.
So it's a much smaller sample size of the fan base here when it comes to MSU athletics, but still, I mean, that is on his pack. And I feel like there's a lot more hype around him. You know, it's Tom Izzo. He's a Hall of Fame coach. They've had some dynamic personalities on that MSU basketball team in recent years. I mean, you got Miles Bridges. I mean, Draymond Green. You know, it was great when I was a student. I was actually a member of the Izzo my freshman year at Michigan State. And that atmosphere was unbelievable. So for senior day, though, you would hope that the fans would show up.
You really
hope that they – I mean, last home game at Spartan Stadium. Fans, support your football program, especially seeing as though they're bowl eligible already. And what a turnaround for Mark D'Antonio in this team.
Well, so, and one thing that I would do if I was MSU is play up the Mark D'Antonio angle. We started off today's show by talking about how this guy is a Munger Coach of the Year candidate. Congrats. And nobody more deserving outside of possibly a few coaches. But nobody.
Who would you bring up, Elsa? Who else would you bring up in that conversation?
You know, it is a tough one. But who's the head coach of Miami? I got to say. I mean, it's hard for me to put anybody above him. I can't think of the name right now off the top of my head.
Well, you're talking about Mark Richt.
Yeah, Mark Richt. It's hard for me to think of a guy more deserving than that, because Miami went from obscure to top of the nation, making every other ACC team insecure. That's where Miami is right now. It's hard for me to put anybody above them. Also, UCF, with the season that they've had.
Undefeated.
I'm shocked at the turnaround of that football team, because just a few years ago, that program was in the dirt. And we'll see that coach, whose name is also eluding me. I know Dave from Wyoming brings it up because he thinks he deserves a promotion pretty soon. But
which coach?
The UCF coach, University of Central Florida coach.
That's Scott Frost.
That's right. Yeah, he deserves a promotion. So I don't know. I don't think D'Antonio is the top of that list anymore, but he's still done an outstanding job.
This,
and
this is the thing. This season, Mark, this is the thing. Mark, looking at the off-field problems, I mean, this was national news.
And what I'm saying is, with this season, MSU, for me, it's time that the football program recognizes that Mark D'Antonio is as valuable, or at least almost as valuable to that program, as Tom Izzo is to basketball.
Oh,
it's time to brand the student section, the D'Antonio zone, or whatever you want to call it. But think of something so that you really pay homage to what this guy has done for the program. Because this year, MSU could have faded. They really could have. And it's not just the talent. It's the coaching. It's the resilience on that team that the student section does not necessarily emulate.
Well, and the reason why I give Mark D'Antonio this is why I put him number one on that list for me. When you deal with the kind of offseason that makes national news, you talk about criminal sexual misconduct. And again, four of your players in two separate incidences, and that press, I'll never get that press conference.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. Being in that room and seeing Coach D, I mean, you could just feel the tension in the room. It was so awkward, and reading that kind of stuff on national news and then hearing all of the negative talks surrounding around the program, when you have to deal with that kind of distraction, that's another level, Isaac. That goes beyond wins and losses. And on top of a 3-9 season, there are not many coaches that could have dealt with that and have the turnaround, the kind of turnaround that the Spartans had this year. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Julian Mitchell, who is an Impact Sports beat reporter for the Michigan State women's basketball team. He'll help us preview the weekend that will be for Susie Merchant and her troops on Sunday. And we'll also have our quick hit headliners for you and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Now, since we didn't do it at the top of the hour, I want to get to right now our quick hit headliners for this Friday, November 17th. All right, multiple stories to update you all on for this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I want to pass this along to you all. A California judge actually ruled on Thursday that if a former Michigan State football player wants to seek monetary damages from NBA star Draymond Green, he will have to do it in Michigan. Of course, that being former Michigan State football player Jermaine Edmondson, he will file a civil lawsuit against Green over an incident that occurred in the early morning hours of July 10th outside of, I believe, what was that, Rick's? I believe, Isaac?
It
Rick's
was,
American
where
Cafe. Yeah, exactly, right? That's where everybody turns up here if you're a student at Michigan State, right? But yeah, that incident happened outside of Rick's. And Edmondson, you know, he sought damages in excess of $1 million from Green. Do we have that My Neck, My Back bite queued up, Isaac?
In 5 seconds,
yeah,
we will.
Yeah, roll that. Just play it whenever, because that's exactly what that moment felt like, seeing Jermaine Edmondson address the press with his girlfriend, Bianca. He just was seeking money. You're just seeking money here, Jermaine. But, you know, looking
at... Oh, I'm hurt. Yeah. Oh, my neck! Mm-hmm. My back!
Dick.
My neck and
right.
my back!
Right, come on, man. Come
on. $150,000!
Yeah, except he wants $1 million. It's worth noting.
Except he wants $1 million, right? Yeah, so Edmondson, he sought damages of in excess of $1 million from Green. And right now, you know, the judge's decision to halt the case in California will now push this thing to Michigan. So the judge said that he will probably give Edmondson about 6 months to decide if he will file a lawsuit in Michigan. If Edmondson doesn't, the judge will push for... His lawyer, Edmondson's lawyer, will push for a superior court judge
That judge being Ionia Petro, to dismiss the case entirely. So we'll see what happens in this whole thing. It's really comical when you really dive into the details of it. All right. Moving along. As I mentioned, Mark D'Antonio, for the fourth time in his career, the head coach, has been named as a semifinalist for the George Munger College Coach of the Year Award. That news was confirmed yesterday afternoon. He is one of 16 semifinalists for the award. And unfortunate news for two Michigan State student athletes. They were reportedly involved in a car accident yesterday morning. A truck crashed into a pair of female student athletes riding mopeds, and both students were sent to the hospital. Michigan State student newspaper, The State News, reported the students involved in the crash were Samantha McLean and Mari Fletcher. McLean is a sophomore on the women's volleyball team, Fletcher a freshman on the field hockey team. And on to less important matters, and really thoughts and prayers go out to both McLean and Fletcher. Really unfortunate news there. On to less important matters, though. Munfield, for all you tailgaters out there, Munfield will be closed for tailgating tomorrow for Michigan State's football game against Maryland. The field was shut down earlier this week due to concerns about its muddy condition and the weather. So take that into account if you usually tailgate at Munfield. All right, Spartans, yeah, the hockey team, will play their final non-conference series of the year this weekend as they will meet Ferris State in a home-and-home set. The two teams will face off at 7 p.m. Tonight, and also in Big Rapids tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Michigan State split last weekend with number 7 Wisconsin, falling 6-3 in game one and then rebounding to take game two, 2-0. The shutout was the second of the year for the Spartans in goaltender John Letheman. MSU Gymnastics will hold its annual green and white meet tonight at 6 p.m. at the third floor practice gym inside of Jennison Fieldhouse. The Spartans will kick off the season with the first opportunity to perform their 2018 routines. Admission is totally free for the event. And due to other events on campus, parking will be $5, though, for MSU lots. The Spartans will hold Meet the Spartans event December 16th at 2 p.m. at Jennison before officially kicking off the 2018 season against Bowling Green on Friday, January 5th at 6 p.m. The MSU women's volleyball team, yeah, the Spartans' home schedule comes to a close on Saturday when Michigan State will host Indiana at 8 p.m. inside of Jennison Fieldhouse. And following the match, the Spartans will, of course, honor their 7 seniors. Michigan State fell on the road at Michigan on Wednesday night, dropping a 3-0 decision. It was the first Big Ten loss for Michigan State to a team not ranked 7th or above in the AVCA national poll. The Michigan State men's soccer team earned the number 7 overall seed in the 2017 NCAA tourney, earning a first-round bye. In the second round, the Spartans will host Virginia Tech at DeMartin Stadium this Sunday at 1 p.m. The Spartans have lost only one game at DeMartin Stadium in the last two seasons. The last time the Spartans earned a first-round bye was back in 2014 when MSU was the overall number 3 seed. The Spartans advanced to the Elite 8 that season before being edged by Providence 3-2 in East Lansing. The Michigan State women's basketball team concludes the first of 2 4-game homestands this Sunday against College of Charleston at 12 p.m. The game is the first half of a doubleheader with the Michigan State men. This is the first of 5 doubleheaders this season. Redshirt sophomore guard Shea Colley was one assist shy of a triple-double as the Spartans stopped Oakland 95-63 at the Breslin Center on Monday, and with the win, Michigan State improved to 2-0 for the third straight season. Much more on the Michigan State women's basketball team in just a minute, as we will talk with Julian Mitchell of Impact Sports. And moving along to high school news, how about this? Last night in high school volleyball state semi action, DeWitt was unfortunately swept 3-0, and Fowler moved on in a 3-0 topping of Munising. And DeWitt, who did DeWitt play in that matchup last night, Isaac? I have to look that up. I don't have it in my notes, but I did see some of the highlights on our local broadcast.
Yeah, DeWitt lost to Novi, I believe. Novi. I could be wrong about that, but I believe it's Novi.
Right. No, you're right on that, because I remember in our headliners yesterday, Novi is actually the defending state champion. So great year, though, for the DeWitt Panthers girls volleyball team. And we also have local high school football action for you this weekend in the playoffs. In Division 6, semifinal action, folks, Ithaca will take on Traverse City St. Francis. That game will take place at Community Memorial Stadium in Mount Pleasant on Saturday at 1 p.m. You can also catch Jackson Lumen Christie at, going against Warren Michigan Collegiate. That game will take place at Chelsea, also at 1 p.m. And in Division 7, you can catch Pewamo Westphalia in the semifinals. They will be at Lake City, at Clare, I should say. They will take play against Lake City. That game will take place at Clare. That will also take place. I'm assuming all these games are Saturday, Isaac. Saturday at 1 p.m.?
Yeah, all of them Saturday.
Saturday at 1 p.m. So there you have that as well. And I believe also Portland St. Pat will also be in action. We'll get that to you before the hour closes out, because I believe you have Ithaca, Pewamo Westphalia, and Portland St. Pat. Portland St. Pat, of course, competing in eight-man football. I'll get that game time set for you before the hour ends. But that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Again, go to Facebook.com/currentsports, as many of you have been already weighing in via our live stream. And you can join us via Twitter at Al Martin. WKAR is my Twitter handle. Or tweet the show at WKAR_sports, as we have just under 20 minutes left in this hour of current sports. Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will chat with Julian Mitchell, Impact Sports beat writer for the Michigan State women's basketball team. To WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We've been talking about a lot today. We just wrapped up our headliners, and so much to highlight in our headliners, especially with the weekend coming up, and the Lions, of course, taking on the Chicago Bears this weekend. That should be an intriguing game, and we'll see if the Lions can you talk about having an easy schedule. Right now, they have the easiest path to a division title, if you ask me, when evaluating the next few weeks here. So the NFC North is there for the taking. They will play, though, the Minnesota Vikings, which look really, really good right now. And I believe the Vikings will actually be playing the L.A. Rams come this weekend. So that will be a tough game for Case Keenum and the Purple. So we'll see what happens this weekend. But I expect the Lions to top the Bears. Izzy, do we have that Portland St. Patrick game?
Yeah, so Portland St. Patrick's actually going against Crystal Falls Forest Park, and that's at 2 p.m., not 1 p.m., 2 on Saturday. So should be a good one there. As you mentioned, eight-man football. I've never actually seen it, but
it's definitely fun.
Yeah, good chance to get out there.
It's certainly fun. And, you know, when it comes to where that game is taking place, you know where that game will be? I know it's at a neutral site. That's how they do it around his time of the year. Did it say?
Looking like it's at the NMU Superior Dome up in Marquette. So it's a bit of a drive.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, safe driving for those attending that game. All right. Well, I want to get to the Michigan State women's basketball team. We haven't highlighted them much this week, but they are off to a great start. And Michigan State, Susie Merchant and her team will be back in action come this Sunday at 12 p.m., and a game in which they will also honor the 1997 Big Ten Championship team. They will have multiple players from that team in town to celebrate that accomplishment. And a great start for Susie Merchant's team this year. They beat Oakland earlier this season, and they really seem to be surging. There a few players to highlight when it comes to this. Again, it's only two games, but a few players to highlight during this run. One is Shea Colley. She's looked great. She was actually one assist shy of a triple-double in that 95-63 win at the Breslin Center on Monday as Michigan State again topped Oakland. Michigan State has improved now to 2-0 for the third straight season. But 12 Spartans saw action in that game, 11, which netted points. Three Spartans scored in double figures. You had, along with Colley, Taya Reimer with 20, and also Brandy Agee, who had 12. So now they will prepare to possibly go 3-0 as they will welcome the College of Charleston to the Breslin at 12 p.m. To talk about this team is Julian Mitchell, beat writer for the Michigan State women's basketball team for Impact Sports. Julian, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be back here. You know, I didn't think I'd be coming back on, but I'm excited to be in.
Why do you say that, Julian? Come on, you were fantastic during your debut. I believe, what was that, last week?
Yeah, about last week. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, glad to have you back on the air, Julian. And again, you've been covering this team now with just two games into the season. But, you know, looking at especially the game earlier this week against Oakland, a 95-63 win. Shea Colley has been a treat to watch. You know, she ended with 14 points, a team high, 12 rebounds, 9 assists in just her second game as a Spartan. What's really impressed you about Shea Colley?
Well, just her aggression has been really impressive to me. Every time she has the ball in her hands, she's ready to take you straight to the rack or get a play set up for the team. She's so quick on the fast break, and that's one of the big things for her. Is she got 12 rebounds in that game, and it's big for the Spartans team. She gets 12 boards. When your point guard gets to the board on the fast break, the ball's going to be pushed up the front court, and I think that's great for this Spartans team is they have someone who's quick, who's ready to push that ball to make them run so they can just run other teams out of the gym and get easy fast break points.
Yeah, and again, one assist shy of a triple-double. And, you know, Taya Reimer, she actually led the team in scoring with 20 points. But, you know, you're looking at Shea Colley, just how good can she be? She's so young and very talented. Just how good can she be this season for this team, Julian?
She can be great this season. I think she is the X factor for this team because when she's going, this team really has it on all fronts. And between her and Reimer, they had a great two-man game in the last game against Oakland with McCutchen sitting out due to foul trouble. Their two-man game was really shown in that game. Coming off pick and rolls, whether Colley was taking it to the rack or she was able to dish it to Reimer for easy buckets, their two-man game, their chemistry was just perfect. And we saw a little bit at the post-game press conference just how they bounce off of each other and how great they are as teammates. So I think Colley's an X-factor for this team, and when she's working with Reimer and everyone else, it just gives her so much space and so much room to move around on the floor and get where she wants to go.
Now, again, Julie, and again, putting things in perspective here, it's only two games into the year. They play one official exhibition game against Lake Superior State. Mm-hmm. That was a 111-37 win. They topped Robert Morris in the first regular season game of the year, 100-58, and they blow out Oakland 95-63. When discussing just two games into the year and both games being blowouts, what little things can you nitpick at in which you feel as though the Spartans need to improve before Big Ten play happens and before that big UConn game happens on November 25th?
So one of the things is I want to nitpick on, if I have to, is the turnovers for this team. Against Oakland, they forced Oakland into 21 turnovers, but they had 21 themselves. And if you're playing higher competition, those 21 turnovers are not going to help you at all. Those are easy points, especially for a team like UConn that is ready to run you out of the gym to get those easy points to go off of your mistakes and make benefits for their own team. And that's going to be a real big problem when they play UConn and other Big Ten teams. And then also, Susie Merchant talked about this at the post-game press conference, and it's box out and pursuit. And I saw it a little bit at the Oakland game, and there were moments where players are just a little bit not as strong in their box outs. They're not feeling as well as they need to be. And so that is a problem playing much bigger talent, people who really are strong on the glass, and you have to box them out well, especially UConn team and other teams like that. So those are two things that I would nitpick on. But so far, with the small sample size at least, this team has looked fantastic so far.
You know, with Gino Auriemma going out the way he did last year, he's certainly foaming at the mouth this season, and he wants revenge. He wants another national championship, I'm sure,
very badly this season. And I'm sure that he's looking to just demolish anybody in his path this year. But when looking at that that November 25th matchup against UConn, this is a great opportunity for Susie Merchant's program to be on that kind of national stage against what many would say is the best women's college basketball program in the nation. Do the Spartans have a chance? That's the question I want to know here, Julian. Do the Spartans have any chance against the Huskies?
I mean, I hate to give you a cliche, but I do really think any team has a chance when they play anyone. I think this Michigan State team, just looking at on paper, I think they can. Their length and their versatility is going to be a big help in guarding some of these bigger players on the UConn team, some of these more talented players on this UConn team. It's definitely going to be a tough matchup. UConn, I mean, definitely, obviously has them as far as talent-wise. I mean, this is one of the best programs in women's basketball, so talent-wise, that's a tough matchup, and it's hard bringing some young players. Jay Colley's just, she's a sophomore, but she had to sit out last season, and to come into UConn and play a game against them on a big stage, it's hard bringing some young players in there. So I think it can happen. They have versatility and some other things to face this UConn team, but I mean, the talent on that Huskies roster is just out of this world. And add that with the hunger they have to get back to where they were and win another championship, that's a tough team to try and get a win against.
Yeah, you can say that about 1,000 times more, right, Julian? I mean, every single year I feel like the Huskies come in with the top recruiting class in the nation. So I'm curious to see that matchup in a few days here. But not to get ahead of ourselves here, again, PK80, Susie Merchant's team will play College of Charleston at 12 p.m. What can you tell us about College of Charleston, Julian?
Well, College of Charleston, they are a very solid team. They're 1-1 on the season right now. They beat Lipscomb University in the first game, 85-69, and then lost to Furman, 58-72. In their last game, they're coming to Michigan. They're playing two games here in Michigan, first starting off with Central Michigan on Friday, and then, of course, Michigan State on Sunday. So they have a little bit of a rough go at it, playing two games this weekend. So it's going to be tough for them. But this is a solid team. They have some great guards who can really score. Darian Huff is one of those players, averaging 16.5 points per game this season. So they have a couple players. They have three players averaging double digits. And so those are some players that can hurt you on the offensive end. And they can really do a lot. They force turnovers. So they're just a solid overall team. I don't know if they have enough to beat Michigan State, but this is a team that if Michigan State doesn't play well, they make some mistakes, maybe sneakily it could happen and they get a win.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll certainly be following that game, and we'll be reporting. I'll be reporting from the Breslin Center that entire afternoon. You got men's soccer taking place at DeMartin Stadium. That's an NCAA tourney matchup for Damon Rensing's team. And then you got a doubleheader, Michigan State women's basketball at 12. And then you have the men tipping off at 4 p.m. Julian, are you going to stick around for the men's game? I'm curious.
I'm going to try to, you know, I'm going to try to get as much basketball as I can that weekend, but we're, you know, as a student here, we're getting close to finals and everything's trying to hit me right now. And I just want to watch some basketball, but professors are like, you got to turn in a paper. So we'll see what happens.
Well, I'll tell you what, hit the library as soon as you're done reporting. Okay.
I will.
Julian Mitchell of Impact Sports. Julian, thank you so much, man. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Okay, that's great stuff. Love having Julian on, man. I tell you what, Isaac, that's going to be a busy day for us. This whole weekend, we got MSU. Well, you won't be. I don't think you'll be reporting on Sunday.
No, because I'll be helping out on the station 90.5 WKRLP, hosting a classical music broadcast that's being syndicated.
You'll be hosting?
Not hosting but I'll be holding it down from here. So
I cannot see you hosting a class. I was about to say, that's a different role for you, man.
You know, I'm a jack of all trades, and I like my Bach and my Beethoven, and that's about all I can name.
To get your Jody Knoll and Jamie Paisley.
Exactly,
on, right?
Exactly.
You know, I thought you were hosting for. I had to do a double take just then, but that's going to be a busy day. You know what? We got 3 minutes left, Isaac, and I want to give away tickets to this weekend's Michigan State men's basketball game. I don't even have a question prepared right now. Let's just go with caller number one, okay? First caller to call in gets the tickets. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I usually make you earn them, but not today.
Okay, we're making it real easy for you guys today. As Michigan State men's basketball will play Stony Brook, first game of the PK80. That will take place at 4 p.m. come this Sunday. So if you want to check out Tom Izzo's team trying to rebound after the Duke loss, call in 517-355-WKAR. 3 minutes left. You guys know how we close out each and every Current Sports Friday show with Reflection Friday. All right, so a few things I want to highlight throughout the week here on Current Sports. First off, it was a fun week. Really, really fun week here on the show. We talked about multiple areas. Of course, the college football playoff. Probably my favorite show probably had to be the MSU and Duke game, because that was a really entertaining game. And going through and dissecting that one and looking at, you know, I watched the entire second half and dissecting that game on the air and getting your thoughts on the Duke loss. Many of you guys frustrated. But again, my message to you all, just simmer down now. There's a lot of basketball left to play. Izzo's team will get better as the year rolls along. But a few stories I want to highlight that didn't really get a chance to throughout the week. Number one is the Detroit Pistons. My Detroit Pistons are playing awesome, sitting at second place in the Eastern Conference still. How about the Boston Celtics, though? A great victory over the defending NBA champion, the Golden State Warriors. The Pistons also beat the Warriors earlier this season. 14 straight for the Celtics, but the Pistons are playing some great basketball. So Stan Van Gundy, keep it up, my man. I think the Lions will beat the Bears this weekend, Isaac. Also, want to bring this story to the fold. The NFL is investigating an allegation that Jameis Winston groped a female Uber driver back in March of 2016. So that's a story that's hitting the fan right now. Very unfortunate stuff there. But other than that, a fun week here on the show. We covered a lot, and I want to get to the CTE, the first living football player to be diagnosed with CTE. We'll get to that next week. Real quick, guys, you got anything?
Congratulations to Serena Williams, married this weekend in New Orleans. Congrats to her.
That's great stuff. We'll see you Monday, folks. Have a great weekend, and be easy, people.